So I'm driving home from work. I pause at the stoplight. I get a news update, a live news update notification from CNN. I look down and I see this story about Joshua Brown, the key witness in the Amber Geiger murder trial, who testified, whose testimony was incremental in convicting Amber Geiger. And as I'm reading his story, the information that CNN is the journalist assigned to this story that they're revealing, it's starting to scare me. It's starting to scare me because the dots that didn't make sense, the blanks that didn't make sense as a result of Amber Geiger's lies and inconsistencies, compared to the evidence that the investigators revealed on the scene and the eyewitness testimony, the gaps were starting to fill in for me. It was like a pieces of the puzzle were just in my mind were slowly coming together, and then everything just fit. See, Joshua Brown had was previously attacked by an unknown gunman, and his friend was shot and killed. He was shot, severely wounded, but he survived. One of the reasons that he was living in the apartment complex where Botham Jean was living was because it was confusing. That's one of the reasons he lived there. He didn't, and because he felt that it was a safer place for him to live, because he didn't want whoever was after him to find out where he lived. So that's one of the reasons he was living in that apartment complex. Somehow, after the murder trial, Joshua found a way to move out. So Joshua moved out of the apartment complex about a week after the murder trial, and not 3 days later, he's killed at the new apartment complex he lived in. Okay, so these are just the facts. Now I want to break down the pieces of the puzzle that have begun to fit. Okay. I'm going to make a statement, and I know people are going to say, "Bro, what are you talking about?" But I'm just going to make the statement that I believe that I believe the pieces of the puzzle have come together to fit in order for me to make this statement, and that is that Amber Geiger wasn't looking for her apartment that night last year. She was looking for Joshua's apartment. Whoever was after Joshua, Amber Geiger was either part of that sum, or she was the person who was supposed to report to that sum to let them know where Joshua was. Okay, now I know nobody is going to want to hear this, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. I'm telling you, it's the only logical explanation that makes sense. Okay, so Joshua's gunned down. Or Joshua's gunned down, his friend's killed. Joshua survives. He moves to a different apartment, new apartment complex. One of the main reasons he moves there. Just read the CNN report. If you got your CNN app, check it out. If not, go to CNN's Facebook site and you can read the latest news reports about Joshua Brown. So he moves there. One of the reasons he moves there is because it's out of the way and it is a little bit confusing, and so he felt that it would give him a little bit more cover. The guy was scared for his life. That's why one of the reasons he took the stand, he broke down so much and he was so afraid and so visibly shaken, is because not only did Botham Jean's murder hit so close to home, I think Joshua Brown knew that those bullets were intended for him. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna deconstruct Amber Geiger's witness testimony. Okay, again, my proposal, excuse me, is that Geiger wasn't mistaken as to which floor she was on. She was mistaken by the person who answered the door the night she killed Botham. She was actually looking for Joshua Brown, maybe not to kill him that night, but to kill him either later on or to let whoever was looking for him know where he lived so that they could kill him. Okay. And this is why Geiger's testimony was filled with so many lies. That's the thing we have to remember, is Geiger never once told the truth. Okay, everything she said about the way the night unfolded was either invalidated by eyewitness testimony, material witness testimony, or forensic evidence that was entered as testimony by the investigators that arrived on the scene after Botham Jean was shot. So let's look at the lies Amber Geiger told. Okay, lie number one: I mistook Botham's apartment for my own. Okay, this is her statement, and it's a lie. She couldn't have mistaken Botham's apartment for her own, okay? Botham had a red welcome mat in front of his apartment. There's no way that she could have thought that that was her unit, period. There's no way. The welcome mat is on the floor. You see the welcome mat. Not only do you see it, but you also have physical contact with it. You step on the mat. You couldn't have thought that was your apartment. So it's a lie. Lie number two: the door was already open when I arrived at the apartment. Again, it's a lie. Not only did the neighbors testify that they heard multiple knocks at Botham Jean's door, followed by a verbal confrontation, which was then followed by gunshots, but Amber Geiger's keys were still in the door when the investigators arrived. This means that Amber Geiger actually attempted to open the door before the confrontation even took place. So if you attempted to open the door, right, and that wasn't your actual apartment, that means that your key didn't work. So if you attempted to open a door, your key doesn't work, you're standing on a red mat, there's no possible way that you still think that that door is yours. Okay, that's just further proof that she couldn't, that she had to have known which unit, that the unit didn't belong to her, because the evidence says so, right? The evidence says so. Lie number three: when I entered my apartment, I saw a large silhouetted figure moving towards me. I ordered the figure to stop. I'm trying to read her testimony here. She claims that she ordered the figure to stop, and when the figure didn't stop, she said she ordered the figure to show his hands to her. When the figure didn't show his hands to her, that's when she drew her weapon and fired. It's a lie. The door was never open. Okay. Amber Geiger tried to enter the door. In my opinion, she tried to break in. In my mind, she was after Joshua Brown. She thought Joshua Brown lived in that apartment. Because remember, Joshua Brown lived in that apartment complex. He lived on that floor. The only difference between Joshua Brown's apartment and Botham Jean's is Joshua Brown lived on the other side. Joshua lived directly across, like he could literally look outside his apartment peephole and see Botham Jean's front door. So he lived 180 degrees from Botham Jean. So Amber Geiger, her lie, her version of events as to what happened, in my mind, and what I believe is that Amber Geiger had concocted a story before she went to pursue what she thought was Joshua Brown's apartment complex. And the story that she had concocted, she was going to use in her defense if things hit the fan. The problem was that when Botham Jean opened the door, she freaked out because she could no longer use her excuse for the murder, the assassination that she was planning on doing, and that she then had to execute Botham Jean because Botham Jean was a material eyewitness and would be able to not only place her at the scene, but would also be able to explain to authorities that what happened that night, would also be able to explain to authorities if she tried to then turn around and either find Joshua Briggs later on that night or later on that week or later on, somewhere later on that week or that month. Botham Jean would have been a material witness that would have been able to deconstruct her story, whatever her new story would have been, whatever her story may have been after she killed Joshua Brown. Botham Jean, because he saw Amber Geiger, because Amber Geiger knocked on his apartment door because he confronted Amber Geiger in the middle of trying to come into his apartment. That testimony and what he would have told authorities that night, as to what happened, would have deconstructed whatever story Amber Geiger had in her mind as an excuse to get her off of whatever she was planning to do to Joshua Brown that night. Okay, so let's move on. Again, we're talking about line number three. She says, "When I entered my apartment, I saw a large silhouetted figure moving towards me. I ordered him to stop and show me his hands. When he didn't, I drew my weapon and I fired." It's a lie. Amber Geiger tried to break in. She couldn't, and so that's when she knocked. Botham Jean answered the door, and that's when she killed him. Listen, Geiger was looking for Joshua Brown that night. She was looking for Botham. she was looking for Brown, not Botham, because she was either trying to kill Joshua Brown or she was trying to confirm that that Joshua Brown did indeed live in that specific unit. When Botham answered the door, and what she originally thought was Joshua Brown's home, she freaked out because not only did she have the wrong apartment unit, but Botham Jean would now deconstruct her entire story, and she knew that her story wouldn't add up to investigators, and that whatever she planned on doing later on to Joshua Brown would ultimately result in her conviction. She pulled out her gun and she executed him. Geiger wasn't mistaken as to which floor she was on. She was mistaken by the person who answered the door. Ooh, this is a man. And so I invite anyone to deconstruct that scenario. I invite anyone to try and deconstruct that argument. But you have to understand Amber Geiger's story. Not only does it not make sense, Amber Geiger's story is one compository extended lie. From the beginning to the end, none of it, not only does any of it make sense, but it's all a lie, and they're all proven as factual lies by witness testimony, by material witness testimony, eyewitness testimony, and by forensic evidence, by investigators' testimony. And so what you have is you have somebody who is not being honest about what they were originally intending to do. They're trying to paint themselves in the best light as possible, most sympathetic light possible to the public, to the jury. And in order to do that, they try to paint themselves as a victim. Okay. But if you're going to your apartment door, even if you don't recognize that the mat is there, that there's a welcome mat there in front of you that doesn't belong to you, the moment you put your key into the door and it doesn't work, you know that that unit isn't yours. The moment you turn that key and it doesn't work, you know something's off, okay? So then you knock on the door and then a stranger answers the door, okay? Your first inclination isn't, why are you in my apartment? Pull out my gun and shoot you, okay? Okay, the only person who does that is somebody who has something else on their mind, somebody whose intentions were something else. She killed Botham Jean because Botham Jean was a witness. That's why she didn't try to save his life. That's why she didn't try to resuscitate him. That's why when they looked to see if her first responder gloves were used, they were not used. That's why when she called dispatch, the first thing and the only thing she said was, "I'm going to lose my job." I would even go as far as to say that this text messages that she was exchanging with her so-called fellow, her paramour, were part of the sum. They were part of the plot. They were part of the plan to get Joshua Brown. What is it? Why? Who was chasing Joshua Brown? The media doesn't tell us, right? Who was it that shot Joshua Brown and his friend months earlier that Joshua Brown was so afraid of? The media doesn't tell us. What we do know is that Joshua Brown died by a shot followed by a double tap which is actually what police officers use, what military forces use, paramilitary, militia, people who train with weapons. That's not gang violence. That's not gang shooting. I don't care what you white people want to say, that is not black on black crime. As a white person or a police officer or a police officer or someone who is involved in professional uses of weapons, knowing how to use the weapon professionally and efficiently after Joshua Brown for some unknown reason. We don't know why, and we don't know what the reason is. They didn't find the person who killed Joshua Brown's friend. They didn't find the person who shot Joshua Brown months ago. And they have no leads on who tried to shoot Joshua Brown now. How can that be unless it was law enforcement? This is Product 61. Don't chase it, drink it straight.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.